Hey everybody, this is Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is Cigars and Cinema. But before we get started today, we'd like to talk about the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge.
In Richardson, Texas. They are at 1002 North Central Expressway, Suite 589.
Hey, you remember the suite this time.
I did.
Yeah. What's the phone number? If someone were in the area,
972-761-9903.
This is the new Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge.
Improved and much improved.
Yes, much improved. They've got beautiful a place. Very nice it. Lounge. Yeah, a good sized humidor, probably 800 square feet. Yeah. One of the bigger ones in town for sure. Yeah. And a hell of a selection here. And Matt and the crew, Dobie, everybody's great.
Mm-hmm.
And the mascot of the shop is great.
The Tobinator.
Yep.
Toby.
So definitely check out the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge if you're in the area. And you will not be disappointed. They have a lot of great cigars, great people, great vibe. Good place to hang out and enjoy a smoke. Yeah. Watch some
football
sports.
Season's about to start.
Exactly, yeah.
So great place to watch football.
Definitely check it out. And today's episode is sponsored by Nat Sherman. We are smoking the Nat Sherman Metropolitan Habano today, which mm-hmm. is all Nicaraguan tobacco.
That came new, out of the show?
New hotness, okay. Yeah, right. At the show. It's in that 5 to 725 range, so it's nice. Priced right. And very nice it's price. Very tasty. So check out your local B&Ms mm-hmm. and give it a go.
Nice.
So what's the topic today?
We lost a legend.
We did.
And the show, we always try to pay homage to the legends, because there's so few that truly, in my book, are legends.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're referring to the passing of the great Gene Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sad one.
It was, yeah.
That got me.
And I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of weird, because he hasn't been in the limelight for probably like 20 years. No. It's been a while before he's
and he really only had like a 6-7 year span, but he put where
he was
so
really hot
gold.
But he had so much good stuff in that time frame. But I don't think we, you know, I would have liked to have seen him do stuff in the late 80s, early 90s or the 2000s, but for whatever reason, you
I
know,
think when Gilda passed,
once
I
Gilda
think
passed, he kind of stepped out of the limelight and just kind of, you know, was doing his own thing.
I don't blame him at all.
Yeah. And he's since remarried. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll
so, yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, he did pass complications of Alzheimer's, which is always sad.
Yeah.
I'm sure that had something to do with him kind of being out of the limelight as well.
Yeah, exactly. 83.
Yeah. But yeah, if you look at the guys, you know, his list of achievements, I mean, he was the guy for Mel Brooks for a while.
Oh,
he
absolutely.
Was producers, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein. I mean, he was his guy.
And he co-wrote a lot of it, too.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Very, very talented. And he will definitely be missed.
And he is the true Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
let Johnny Depp fans tell you differently.
No, the Johnny Depp one was just
I'd read a quote that Gene Wilder said that one creeped him out.
Which is weird, because he was creepy.
He was creepy.
In the original. So, yeah, that character was written as kind of a creep. So
I loved the book as a kid. Charlie. Yeah. It's called Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the book by Roald Dahl.
Yeah,
look
he wrote
at that.
Several
I pulled
of them.
That out there. Yeah.
Wrote several of them, and they're all great books. They're fun. You know, they're children books before children books were children books, I guess you can say, because they were kind of adult oriented in the way that they handled stuff, and
kind of like a Mark Twain with Huck and
exactly.
stuff like that.
Great stories, and I love the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Is a fantastic movie. It's one of my all time faves.
And it creeped me out the first time I saw it. I was probably too young when I first saw it. And
the boat scene
that was creepy. The girl blowing up, blowing up, but ballooning,
turning into a blueberry. Yeah.
Great movie,
Violet, though. You've turned violet.
Yeah. And he's one of those old school ones that we don't really have anymore that can do it all. He could be a song and dance man. He could play serious if we wanted to, but it was just all about performing, and he was a hell of a performer.
Yeah, Gene Wilder was one of the actors, one of the comedic actors that did drama without it seeming like a chore.
Yeah.
I mean, he was able to bring gravitas to his roles that not a lot of people can do. I mean, everybody always talks about guys like, you got Ace Ventura guy doing these serious roles.
Yeah. And Jim Carrey's okay. He's
but
just not.
It always seems forced. It always seems
like
he's,
we're watching Jim Carrey be serious.
Yeah. And then to me, to a degree, I felt that way with Robin Williams. And Robin Williams got better as he progressed, but it always seems like he was really trying to hold back the Robin Williams of it all, before he became he got to be a better dramatic actor as his career went along.
Absolutely.
But for Gene Wilder, it was like, he played it serious, and he did go, you know, manic genius in scenes, and his hair worked for him. But it was, you know, it was
if he had like my hair, it wouldn't have been okay.
Right, yeah. You know. But he had that horse hair that was just like crazy and wild, and you know, but he was able to do those scenes and play it serious and still have the funny in his face, just the way his expressions, you know, the ways he
had that like twinkle in his eye.
Yeah,
and that worked for Willy Wonka especially. But no, you know, even in Blazing Saddles, he's just he kind of always. It's like he would say something like he's holding back something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just going to say a little bit. He knows something about your mother. Yeah, he's not telling you what it is. You know, it's like, this guy's got something on me. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely had that in him. And it just, you know, it just worked. And he has a hell of a body of work. I mean, even into the, you know, the 80s with the Woman in Red and
Stir
stuff
crazy.
That he did with Richard Pryor. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one of the things that didn't get talked about. Everybody's talking about his, you know, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, Willy Wonka, but nobody talks about all the stuff he did with Richard Pryor. And he did a hell of a great list of movies there, a catalog of movies with Richard Pryor.
I mean, them and Don Knotts and Tim Conway, probably our last two great
comedy teams. Yeah. You know? Yeah, very much
and
so.
And they're about the same time frame, too, you know? And then those just disappeared now. Now you've got the Frat Pack and all that kind of stuff. And they're even too old now that they're not even doing stuff together anymore. But but that was a bunch of guys.
Exactly.
You know, the Seth Rogen, Carell, Franco, those guys, you know. Uh-huh. The Wilson brothers, that stuff, you know.
Right.
But just duos. Gene Wilder, Richard Pryor, Don Knotts, Tim Conway. That was it. You know?
Yeah, very
I
much
I miss
so.
Those days.
I do, too.
Because
the
comedian, you know, you need to have someone you can work well with, and they obviously worked great together.
Yeah, they did.
You know, that
and that's the thing is that was the day before the. I mean, there's always a straight man, but those they didn't really have a straight man. They both were funny.
Funny, right?
Now you've got, you know, this one always confused me. You know, Jackie Chan is, if you look at Jackie Chan's catalog of movies, he's very funny over in his movies over in China, but over here he always plays a straight man to Chris Tucker, whoever else he's paired with. Owen Wilson or whatever.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of
exactly.
my mouth?
Exactly.
You know, it's like, right. Oh, come on. You know.
I don't know Kung Fu, but I know crazy. You know, just he always plays the straight man. But that's not who he was. That's not who he is. And he just does it because he doesn't speak very good English and he's been relegated to
and
that
he gets
role.
Really so. Big paychecks.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps
but,
a lot.
You know, so that doesn't count. Those aren't comedy duos.
No.
They're, you know, it's one guy being a straight man and one guy being funny. But these guys, both of them were funny in their own right.
Right.
And
exactly.
They both played well off each other and were giving of each other. And that's the thing you don't see now. It's most comedy teams now are, it's very one-sided. You know, one guy steals the show and the other guy's kind of left in the dust.
So right. Yeah.
They don't seem to have that kind of, I don't know, moral proclivity to be nice, I guess,
right, I guess
to each other.
Exactly.
You know, or the scripts aren't there. I don't know. It could be any number of things, but.
Yeah. It's just, you know. Sometimes the chemistry just can overtake a bad script. I think See No Evil, Hear No Evil was a horrible movie.
It was,
script-wise.
Yeah. It was not a great
movie. But those guys made it funny. I mean, there were some parts in that movie that cracked me up.
Yeah. Not the best of their ventures together, but it was still a funny movie. I mean, you still watched
one was
it because
deaf and one was
them.
Blind, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As far as, you know, that...
The premise and the way that they played it was funny, but the movie overall was not well made.
Although we
so.
Did get to see Joan Severance's boobs.
Yes.
And those were nice.
Always good,
yeah.
Back in the day,
yeah, they were very nice.
Yeah, she was a honey.
Yeah, she was. And then she started making those Shannon Tweed like movies.
right. Yeah.
Okay, so I know what both of our favorite Gene Wilder movie is. We have the same favorite, so let's talk about the others.
Okay.
Our favorite is Young Frankenstein. We'll save that one.
Yeah, but, yeah. Young Frankenstein.
What's
awesome.
Your second?
It's hard, man. I really love Willy Wonka because I loved it as a kid, but I also love it as an adult, and it's one of the ones that I think plays well in that field. Not many movies that I liked as a kid I still like as an adult. You look at the movies that you liked as a kid, like Goonies and stuff, they don't age well. I mean, they're just not great movies to me anymore. But that one, it's almost like the Bugs Bunny of kid movies because it plays well to both people. It can play well to kids. There's enough humor, adult humor in it that adults can get it.
Right.
So that really, I mean, it's neck and neck between that and Blazing Saddles for me. It really is kind of neck and neck.
And, you know, he wasn't as big a part in Blazing Saddles as you think.
No, he was a side player
when you
in
walk,
Blazing Saddles.
When you watch it, don't walk it. That would be stupid.
Yeah.
They don't have a leash for a DVD
they
box.
They walk the Blazing Saddles. I don't think that's the lyric. They rode the Blazing Saddles. I'm just changing it to
But yeah. But now if you watch, Gene Wilder's not the main guy.
It's Mel Brooks and Little.
It's Cleavon Little, Harvey Korman, and Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
You know, Harvey Korman's part's probably bigger than...
Yeah, exactly. He's got more lines. He's got more going on.
Yeah.
But Gene Wilder, again, brought so much to the role that people think of it as a Gene Wilder movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But it's more of a group, you know, a unit thing.
Definitely nonsense.
Yeah.
My name is Jim. But my friends call me Jim. I love that line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greatness. Yeah, I would agree. I love Blazing Saddles second, and then Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a close. It's a 2A and 2B, probably.
Yeah. I appreciate Willy Wonka more now as an adult, as a parent, because mm-hmm. my kids can appreciate it as well. So I think that's probably why it's kind of edged out Blazing Saddles.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, when I was a kid, I was all about Blazing Saddles, you know. So it was the movie with farts in it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everybody's farting in it. It's hilarious.
Oh,
yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And all the inappropriate humor. I mean, that movie's highly. You watch it now, I mean, they could never make that movie nowadays. It's so racist.
It is.
But so allowed at that time, and
all
so
of Mel
funny.
Brooks' stuff is
it
racist.
It really is. Yeah. And not just towards black people, but I mean, he's got, you know, History of the World's like so anti-Jew, it's not even funny.
He rips on Jews, and he's a Jew, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
But
it's just not allowable nowadays. No. They're so un-PC. I mean, I can't believe they show those on TNT and stuff. It amazes me that they show those movies there. Sure, but they do.
Yeah. But you're supposed to sing to Camp Town Races.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Greatness.
Greatness.
But
and, you know, I like a lot of his stuff, too. With the, you know, like Silver Streak. It was a great, you know, kind of Hitchcockian comedy thing. Stir Crazy's awesome. So, yeah, I mean, he's got a lot.
Yeah, that's right. We bad.
We bad. Uh-huh.
Greatness.
You get the black face. I mean, come on. Boy, just, you know, God. So highly inappropriate, but funny as hell still. And, you know, I like the woman in red because Kelly DeBrock shows her boobs. Actually,
she
shows everything.
She doesn't show her boobs.
She shows her bush.
She shows her snatch.
Yeah, she does. Well, I won't put it that way. It's a little crude, but she showed her kind of.
Okay, she's. She showed her beaver snatch.
Yeah, she did show her beaver snatch. Her bearded clam, as it were.
Yes.
And to use another term.
Her camel toe. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but like PG-13 movie, you're like, what? There's
what
bush
the
in this.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that movie had moments.
That was probably the best movie he made with Gilda. And they never really shared the screen.
Right.
But they were both funny in it.
Haunted Honeymoon was terrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
You wanted that movie to be so good because they're so funny individually, but they just, I don't know if it was really the script.
Was it James Coco or Dom DeLuise?
Dom DeLuise.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think it didn't.
Okay.
I think it was Dom DeLuise.
Either one.
Yeah.
But I've never thought drag was funny, to be honest. I've never thought drag was funny.
Yeah.
Except for in The Birdcage. I thought that was kind of funny. Watching Gene Hackman in drag.
Gene Hackman.
You never thought Gene Hackman
woman.
Would be in drag.
Yeah.
But I loved, what's the other one? Shoot, it just left me. Well, crap.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, yeah. He was great on Jeopardy. Oh, wait, no.
I hate you, Trebek. You with your wee bitty eyes and your smart mouth.
Stir Crazy, Silver Streak.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
Oh, World's Greatest Lover.
Oh, yeah.
We went to see that as a kid, and I'm expecting Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
That kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in black and white. He plays like a Rudolph Valentino kind of guy.
Yep.
And as a kid, I hated it. I was so bored watching this movie because it wasn't what I was expecting. And several years later, when I was married, my wife was watching it, and I'm like, man, that movie's terrible. She goes, you don't like this? And I'm like, well, I'll watch it. And I wound up thinking it was a very funny movie. Remember he had that thing where you have to stick his tongue out it?
right. How about Sherlock Holmes' younger brother?
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that?
No.
You never saw Sherlock Holmes' younger brother?
Uh-oh.
That was good. You got to check it out. I think that's what it's called. Let's see. Oh, what? The last thing he was in was an episode of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Wow.
I'll have to hunt that down.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. He was in Will and Grace, in an episode of that.
Okay.
A TV version of Alice in Wonderland. I did not know that.
No.
So, yeah, let's see. Haunted Honeymoon. We're going to clear that up real quick. It was Dom DeLuise. Yeah.
It was Dom DeLuise. Okay.
Yul Brynner, Dom DeLuise, Jonathan Pryce, a whole bunch of other people.
Okay.
But horrible movie. Woman in Red. Hanky Panky. That was the other one. They were good in that together. It was him and Gilda in Hanky Panky.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Hanky Panky?
No, I need to see.
You
got to
watch
Panky.
That, yeah. Frisco Kid. He was
that
good
was
in
it
that.
With Harrison Ford.
Yep.
Yes.
That was a good
that
one.
That was a funny movie.
Yep. The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, Smarter Brother. That's what
Smarter
it was.
Brother. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he plays Sigerson Holmes.
Okay.
Rhinoceros, I've never seen. I don't know
no.
what that is. I have to track that down. It's from 1974. It was him and Zero Mostel, so the reunion of the producers' guys.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot in his. He's got 37 things.
Yeah,
he's made.
He did a sitcom in the late 80s, early 90s. It didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched it because he was in it, and I liked it. I thought it was funny, but I think it, like, lasted four episodes or something.
A lot of people don't remember him in Bonnie and Clyde. He was in that.
Yes, he was. That's a funny scene. Well, funny for that movie.
For that movie, yeah.
Because they hijack him.
Mm-hmm.
Carjack him, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, he's been in.
Yeah, but they're on their honeymoon, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been in, you know, just a lot of stuff people know, and there's a couple things that are kind of hidden gems that people don't know about. So I definitely want to track down Rhinoceros and see that because I didn't know about that.
I'll have to watch Hanky Panky.
It's got a 6.0.
It's possible I've seen Hanky Panky, but it's not registering with me.
Yeah. It was a completely innocent man, Michael Jordan. He plays Michael Jordan, huh? Is drawn into a web of government secrets when a girl carrying a mysterious package gets into a taxi with him. So it's him, Gilda Radner, Kathleen Quinlan, Richard Widmark, and a bunch of other old people that are probably dead now. So yeah, it's got a 5.5 on IMDb, so it's not well reviewed, but it'll probably still be entertaining to watch.
I'll watch it.
But yeah, the guy, I mean, you know, he brought a certain something that not everybody had, and he was able to pull off comedy and drama in the same breath very well.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a sadness about him that was sad but funny at the same time.
Yeah,
you know, so. Yeah. You see it a lot in Young Frankenstein
with
Madeline Kahn scenes. You know, you just feel bad for the guy, but it's hilarious at the same time.
Not on the lips. Not on the lips.
Taffeta, baby. Taffeta, darling. Taffeta. No, the dress is taffeta. I don't want you to wrinkle it. But yeah, so it's just, you know, such a great guy, and he'll definitely be missed. And, you know, not that he was doing a whole lot, but it's just a world without him now. You know,
yeah, it was a better world with Gene Wilder in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Than without, for sure.
I definitely agree with that. So
okay, so Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, yeah.
Greatness.
Isn't it Frodrick? No, it's Frederick. Well, should it be Frodrick Frankenstein? Well, it's not. Yeah, no. One all-time favorites. I mean, it was, I think I told you this before, it was one of the movies that got me into, at the time, the old black and white horror films, because my dad would try and show them to me, and I was too young, and I was like, you know, I just was like kind of scared of them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought they were creepy, so I didn't want to watch them. But he showed me that, and it was so much an homage to those. It was filmed the same way, same lighting, same sets, that it kind of stepped me into that genre, and then I was okay with it. At that point, it was like, okay, well, you know, I've seen this, so I can see that.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was probably highly inappropriate for me. I didn't understand the whole scene with Madeline Kahn getting getting raped by Frankenstein's monster. I didn't understand that at the time, but it was funny. And so I mean, I was able to step into those old school Universal monster movies at that point, and you know, be fine with it. So it was definitely
Mel Brooks had to fight to get that in black and white.
Oh, I know, I heard.
And it's like, come on, that had to be black and white.
Mm-hmm. They were already doing makeup tests in color, and they had done you know, screenshots and stuff, or I guess like production stills in color, and then they decided to let him do it. So,
yeah, and good call there.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely a good call.
But there's just so many one-liners, and there's just so many, you know.
Would you excuse me for 1 minute, dear?
Oh, of course, Doctor.
Igor, may I speak to you for a moment?
Of course.
Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
No, no, up here.
Oh, thank you.
Now, that brain that you gave me, was it Hans Delbrück's?
No.
Ah. Good. Would you mind telling me whose brain I did put in?
And you won't be angry?
I will not be angry.
Abby someone.
Abby who?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Are you saying that I put an abnormal brain into a 7.5 foot long, 54 inch wide gorilla?
What?
Is that what you're telling me?
Give him a sedative.
Sedative?
Sedative! Just so.
No matter how hard I scream, do not open that door. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, I was just kidding. Open the door. Open the fucking damn door. Open the damn door.
Open the door, I'll kick your rotten heads in. Ah, mommy! They freak out.
Oh, great movie.
So great.
God,
yeah.
It's so funny. What? Knockers.
Oh, thank you, Doctor. Yeah. He was my boyfriend. Cloris Leachman, she's still around. I know.
She's like Dancing with the Stars a few years ago.
I know. It's so weird. It's like you see her back then, and she always played older than she was. Mm-hmm. And if you ever saw pictures of her from back in those days without all the makeup and stuff, she was a good-looking woman.
Yeah.
And she did have a nice pair of tits. But yeah, she always played older than she was. So yeah. It was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
And seeing her in that, High Anxiety, she was like had that giant mole. And, you know, just they always made her ugly.
But she was good at it.
Yeah. She was great at it.
Yeah.
Her and Madeline Kahn are two of my favorite.
Madeline Kahn's so underrated.
Oh, man. She's so great in that. She's so great in History of the World Part 1. I mean, she's the best in that. Yeah. We watched that the other day, and my daughter's like, God, Madeline Kahn's like so great. She's just got such a great screen presence. She's so funny. It's so effortless.
And she was gorgeous.
And she was. She was beautiful. Could sing, you know, just didn't, you know.
It's very talented.
Yeah.
Last movie I saw her.
Never got naked. Damn it. Always wanted to see those tits.
Last movie I saw her in, and she was fun. It's a better movie that got reviews was Mixed Nuts with Steve Martin, the Christmas movie.
Yeah, I like Mixed Nuts,
And she gets stuck in that elevator, and she's opening the presents, and she's banging on that xylophone. Mm. Let me out. And then finally she goes, hey, dickhead.
Yeah.
She was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, I like Mixed Nuts. That's a funny movie.
Yeah, that's a funny movie.
I liked her in Clue as well. I mean, I thought Clue was not a great movie, but she was hilarious in it. It was a good cast, but not the best script, I guess, so.
And that goes back to Gene Wilder being that he was a scene stealer, but he didn't mind if you stole scenes from him, too. He was
exactly.
He knew that was part of it, you know, because Marty Feldman was awesome as Igor.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there hump on the other side?
What hump? Yeah.
They do the Walk This Way sketch in that?
They do, yeah. They did that in that one. It's in History of the World Part 1 twice or three times,
really?
I think. Yeah, I'm like, wow, come on, guys. You already did it once. I was like, wow, they really just used the hell out of that joke.
Yeah.
And that led us to watch. So we did part of the segment that we do on the show now. I was just talking about what we watched recently. History of the World was the first time my daughter had seen Gregory Hines in anything.
Okay.
And she liked him. She thought he was funny in that. And, you know, she got to see a little Shim Sham dance he did there. And she's like, oh, he's a good dancer. Well, he was a dancer. That was his thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're working our way towards Cotton Club. But in the interim, we watched Running Scared with Billy Crystal. Mm-hmm. She'd never seen that. And a lot of cigar smoking in that, by the way. Like, they're always constant. Every time they catch somebody, they're popping cigars open and smoking them.
God, it's been so long since I've seen that movie.
Funny movie.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember a little hard to take Billy Crystal as a tough cop or whatever, but he pulls it off. And it's got, you know, a good cast. And very, very funny dialogue. So if you haven't seen that in a long time, check it out.
Yeah, I'll have to, for sure.
Better than the new one with Paul Walker, which is not the same movie at all, just the same name. Called Running Scared.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. It wasn't a remake or anything.
Well, I liked Paul Walker. I never really watched many of his movies.
Yeah, I wasn't really that big of a fan. It was kind of...
I liked Joyride. That's about it.
Joyride was good, yeah. I liked Joyride.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Running Scared, we saw that recently.
Candy cane.
Throwing a candy cane, creep people out.
Candy cane.
Yeah. No, he was good in that. But
that one and Hitcher, man, are the two, like,
road
movies with killers that are just like, holy crap, you know, those two movies.
And then Duel.
Yeah, Duel. I forgot about Duel.
You never see the killer, but that's a creepy movie, man.
It is, yeah. That was it Ron Howard that did Duel, or was that Spielberg?
It was Spielberg, okay. That was his first movie.
That's right, yeah.
It was a TV movie.
Yeah.
From a story out of Playboy, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But written by Richard Matheson.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. The guy that did the I Am Legend, right?
And Somewhere in Time and a whole bunch of stuff. The What Dreams May Come.
Cool. Yeah.
Great writer.
He was a very good writer, yeah.
Yeah. But, we ramble, don't we? We just jump.
Well, that's what we're doing. We don't have a thing now. So, yeah. So you saw some stuff recently, too.
Yeah, I watched a couple of movies that were interesting. One's called The Invitation.
Mm-hmm.
Really needed an editor.
Yeah.
Could have been a really good movie. Still wound up being entertaining. Mm-hmm. Had a good ending, you know, that I was like, oh, okay. All right. You did have something here.
Low budget B movie type thing.
Yeah, I had that little bit better than soap opera camera work.
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about, the way the set feels.
Yeah.
They try to make it feel like you're in this room, and sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. It just detracts.
Because
see, I like for it to look like a movie.
Yeah, I prefer for it to look like a movie too. I think a lot of independent filmmakers come from television backgrounds, so they know how to light for television. They don't necessarily know how to light for film, so it's a difference. I mean, you can see something that's lit like a soap opera, mm-hmm. where there's lights above everything and there's no shadows, versus right. something where you know use the areas in the room and certain, you know, dark and shadow and light and right. all this other stuff.
And then I watched another one that on Netflix. It was called White Settlers.
Okay,
but apparently they changed the name now. If you look for it, it's called Bloodlands.
Mm.
And it's this couple from England. They buy this farmhouse in Scotland.
Okay.
And they get it really cheap. And the husband really doesn't want to buy it because it's a lot of work. And she's like, yeah, but we're getting it so low. You know, you don't have to work. This can be your job to fix it up.
Hmm.
So he's like, okay. So they get there and they start getting tormented. People are breaking in their house. You know, slashing the tires on their car, all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff. Sorry about the hiccups.
Oh, good. This there is radio. Go. Awesome.
Yeah. Great radio. And so it's them, and it only takes place in one night. It's their first night there, and they just get tortured like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Not like torture porn torture. I mean, they're just being harassed.
Yeah.
And wound up like an interesting ending. I won't give that away, obviously. Mm-hmm. Ending, I like it when an ending doesn't go exactly where you think it's going to go. This mm-hmm. one went nowhere near where I thought it was going to go, but it wound up being like, okay, I got you. Cool.
Cool.
So, yeah, that one, Bloodlands or White Settlers, however you can find it.
Interesting. Anybody you know in it?
No, it was all English and Scottish actors okay. and stuff. Really, the only dialogue is the real estate agent that sells them the house and the husband and wife, because these people, they're wearing pig masks.
Okay.
And are stalking them, you know, in the house and breaking in and, you know, chase them through the woods and stuff. Very entertaining women. And it's short. It was like an hour and 20 minutes.
Yep. The old animal mask killers. Yeah. It's kind of become a thing, I guess.
And it's always pig face, too. I've seen a lot of pig face people.
Yeah.
Wasn't the Strangers, weren't they pig face, if I'm not
mistaken? No, there were pig and goats and they had all kinds of different
okay.
things.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. But no, I liked it. It was entertaining.
Yep.
What was the other one I told you that I saw that was very predictable?
No, I don't think you gave me the details about it.
It was
I know what you're talking about.
It's a well-known movie. Oh, Cloverland.
Yeah, Cloverfield. 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entertaining movie. I'm not disappointed that I watched it. But yeah, I guessed right like every time. And it was like, man, if it would have taken one turn, just one turn, it would have been a great movie.
Yep.
As it is, it's solid. It's worth a watch.
Yep. Good performance. I mean, it's based on
John
performances.
John Goodman's badass, John Goodman played the character he always plays. Creepy bastard kind of guy.
Yeah.
Creepy bastard asshole kind of guy.
Gotcha.
I had what's her name in it that I hadn't seen in forever. Rachel Lee Cook.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, that's a big part for her. So I've never heard of her. Or hadn't heard of her in a long time. But yeah, solid. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, that's one I've had on the queue for a while, but I just haven't committed to seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked Cloverfield, but I heard this was just like almost really in name only.
Yeah, it was like last minute that they decided to change it to that.
And that was Mary Elizabeth Winstead, by the way. Was the main chick.
Well, what did I just see with Rachel Lee
Cook? Rachel Lee Cook. I don't know. But this is Mary Elizabeth
Winstead. I saw something with Rachel Lee Cook.
It was not that. But, so it's, it's got good reviews on IMDb. Mm-hmm. It's a 7.3, and it's, 76 rated Metacritic, so it's got good reviews.
Like I said, it's a good movie. It just could have been a great movie.
Predictable, yeah. Yeah. What can you do? I don't think.
And I'm not one of those guys that sits around and tries to predict a movie. I don't. That's why I like The Sixth Sense, because I didn't try to figure it out. I just watched the movie, let it play out.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved the ending to it. Everyone was, I figured it out. Well, why would you do that? Why don't you just watch the damn movie? It was a good movie.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I think too much when I watch movies, I guess. I figured out.
You think too much, period, man. You need to quit that thinking crap.
I guess. So that was the three of the five? You said you watched five, right?
Oh, the other two were just like low budget, like
slasher things.
A little
or
bit
whatever.
Better than Lifetime movie thrillers. One with Hilary Duff.
It was probably
Hilary Duff. Haley Duff. No. Which one's the sister that's not as famous?
Haley
Duff, yeah. That one was interesting.
What the hell did you watch that?
It was on Amazon Prime and it was a thriller and I thought I'd watch it.
Give it a go. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. She's got a nice rack.
Yeah, she does.
I think she's got a better body than her sister.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a long time, so.
And I haven't seen Hillary in a long time.
That's true.
But Haley works, because I IMDb'd her and stuff, and she's been in like 58 movies.
Wow.
And they're all like, the slower budget stuff, but she's working.
No, she's working. Got to pay the bills, man.
Yeah.
Got to pay the bills.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what that movie was called, but it was okay. And then the other one was, I really don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we watched Time Bandits recently, but I think I talked about that last time. I'm not sure. A lot of cigar smoking in that.
At least you didn't watch Ass Bandits like you usually do.
No, I took a break from Ass Bandits. Ass Bandits. Sounds like gay porn.
I know, that's what you said.
No.
That's what you told me it was.
No.
That's why you liked it so much. It's weird.
Wow. It's
easy. Not that there's anything wrong with
you,
that brand.
You are a jackass.
You had to bring it back to Ass Bandits right there.
Jackass Bandit. Yeah. No Ass Bandits. Time Bandits, what else did they watch recently? Family's been watching way too much Criminal Minds. And that's a...
Ooh,
that's so...
Greg from Garmin. Greg got fired from that show.
I know.
For like punching somebody or kicking somebody?
He kicked one of the producers over a script issue, I guess. They weren't getting
along.
That's
a smart move.
Yeah,
just kicked a producer.
Him. So I started digging into that show because they've had a lot of changeover on that show, and because I've seen my wife watch, I'm like, what's his name go? Oh, well, he's off the show. I'm like, this person's off the show. There's a lot of changeover, and it's all kind of for the same reason. So Mandy Patinkin was originally the main guy on the show; he was the main star, but apparently he's an asshat and he's hard to work with. So he was demanding. Really didn't get along with the rest of the cast, and then eventually just said, the show's too dark. I'm too much of a method actor. I'm taking it home with me. I just don't want to do it anymore. So he quit.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. You know, yeah. So he left the show. And then they brought Joe Mantegna in, and he's been on the show.
Is he the go-to cop? That if you need a cop, you just go get Joe Mantegna?
Yeah, either a cop or a gangster. He does kind of both. Yeah. You can skirt the line there pretty easy. So he was the one that kind of took over from there. And then they dropped one of the main girls on the show, and that only lasted a couple episodes because people were all up in arms, but it was a budget thing. Like, we can't afford to have this cast, so they dropped her. And she was super popular, so they brought her back. And then they added somebody else and then dropped them, and then, you know, just on and on and on and on. Well, this thing, apparently, with Thomas Gibson, I can't believe I remember that guy's name, he got kicked off the show because of the anger issues. And apparently it had happened before. He was off the show for about 3 or 4 episodes. He was suspended because same type of thing, threw a fit and like a little baby.
Oh, he seems like a nice guy when he's...
Yeah, I know, right? Well, and got kicked off the show for a little bit, had to go do anger management training and came back. And apparently he was very demanding because he lives in San Antonio, apparently.
Yeah.
And the show works around his schedule and all the other actors have to kind of work around his schedule.
He's not that big.
Because he's the main guy beside Montaigne. So, so that's, I guess, why they finally just said, okay, we're just cutting ties and that's it.
Yeah.
Well. So, and Shamar Moore, who's the other guy, one of the other main guys that people like a lot, he left the show recently, but he left under the guise of, I want to see what else is out there, do something. I've been doing the show for this many years. It's time for me to move on. So he left the show recently. Now, what's funny is after Thomas Gibson got fired, Shamar Moore came back and posted something on Twitter saying, well, isn't karma a bitch? You know, I guess if you're nice to people, these type of things don't happen to you.
Right.
And then, like, pulled it off Twitter. So
it'd been funny if you'd have said, isn't dharma a bitch?
Right, right. Instead of karma, yeah. But touche, yeah. So,
Thank you, sir.
But I guess they're saying now that they might bring him back. Like, the reason he may have left was not because he wanted to pursue other things, but because he didn't like Thomas Gibson. So,
yeah. Okay.
We'll see. I don't know.
Well, that's way too much time on Criminal Minds.
Yeah, well, my family's all into it. So it's basically the killer of the week.
I was still married. Yeah. And my wife thought Thomas Gibson was a hunk. Which I guess he is a pretty decent-looking guy. I don't know. But apparently he's an asshole.
Apparently, yeah. He was. I liked him better on Dharma and Greg because he was so fun-loving and, you know, just kind of seeing him on that. He's so serious on Criminal Minds. He has no humor to him at all, which is weird after Dharma and Greg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a show that I think got hosed.
Yeah.
It had been on just long enough that it should have had a proper ending. And I was just like, yeah, we're done. We're not renewing it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give him an ending. You know, did their marriage work? Did it not? You know,
I agree.
Something, but nah, we're done.
Yeah, at least they didn't do like a Mad About You ending where it's like, oh.
Yeah,
that ending sucked.
It did.
It was heartbreaking.
How did it end?
They got divorced. They split up. She kissed that other guy and then he found out and they separated.
That's right.
And for the finale.
I just remember being sad, but I remember how.
For the finale, they came back and it was like 20 years later. Not 20 years later, but it was like 10 years later and they're still separated and their kids grown up and she's trying to basically get them back together and they're just like, you know, so realistic ending.
Yeah. But still the balls.
Yeah. Cause I mean, the show was happy, go lucky, fun couple. Yeah. Everybody wants to be. And then, you know, that one thing happened and you're like, what? No.
Wow.
But yeah, but Criminal Minds, the fun part of Criminal Minds is seeing all the people that are in the show as unsubs or the bad guys. Like there was one with Jason Alexander. He was really good as this, you know, Colonel Sanders looking bad guy.
Yeah.
He had like a long flowing gray wig and this little Colonel Sanders mustache. And I was like, what the hell? Was that like this? I wanted to know. I was looking up the episode trivia to see if that was like his decision. Like, I want to look like this, or I want hair in this if I'm going to be in it, you know, or whatever. But he has one line and, oh man, it was, I wish they had this as an outtake if it had been perfect. But he was talking about like, He goes, I was married once, or I had a beautiful fiance once, and I just wanted them to say, but she died licking stamps. You know, just, that would have been great.
Right. Yeah, that would have been awesome.
But no.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so many actors in there that have moved on to other things that were just bad guys on that show. Yeah. So.
Well, that's cool.
And there's also a lot of, what would you call it? I don't know. Crossover between that show and CSI, because there's a lot of bad guys that were bad guys on Criminal Minds.
Oh, now they're on.
And then they're on CSI. And then the ones on CSI are like in all the CSI. So he was like a bad guy in the Las Vegas one, then he was a bad guy in Miami, then he was a bad guy in New York. It's like, wow, all different characters. But that's crazy.
That's cool.
That they'd get to do that, yeah. There was a, who was that one? We saw an actor. It was at one of those Texas Frightmare things, I think, or something where it was a guy talking about it, that he was, were you there for that when they showed the video of him where he did all these characters? He was just like a, I think it was one of the voice actor things I went to or whatever, but he was a voice actor that also did a lot of acting, and he was like he was in all of the different incarnations of Law and Order. So he had like, you know, I was a lawyer in this, I was a cop in this, I was a bad guy in this, I was, and they show all the different scenes of him and stuff. It was pretty cool. But they just, you know, they're all over the place. They just completely do a million different things, and they always play different characters, and nobody catches it. So
yeah, that's cool.
Because if you're a working actor, that's cool.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So is there any other shows that you're going to pick up this year?
Designated Survivor, the new Kiefer show. I was telling you, the 30-second commercials they're showing on TV don't look all that great. I mean, they look okay. But I saw like a 5-minute trailer where they kind of really got into it. And yeah, Kiefer starts off looking pretty overwhelmed by the job, but you can tell later on in this trailer that he's starting to be like, no, I'm the president now.
Yep.
He starts calling his shots and
Jack,
stuff.
Not quite Jack Bauer, but he might get close to it, at least. Hopefully. Yeah.
And so I'm going to watch the new 24.
When is that starting? I don't remember seeing anything. No, it was kind of like it was there and then it just kind of went poof, like it didn't happen.
Well, you know, it takes a long time to film that show.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, Kiefer is an executive producer on it, and he has since changed his stance and said that we could and probably will see Jack on it this year. But I'll give it a shot. I mean, I liked the show. I mean, Kiefer helped make it.
Yeah. So it's called 24 Legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. 2016-2017 season.
Okay.
Doesn't say. There's no, like, set date.
No, when it starts.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. It's got that guy, Queen Latifah, and Benjamin Bratt. Or the main.
Well, Benjamin Bratt was in 24.
He was a bad guy, though, wasn't he?
He worked for CTU that turned bad.
Yeah, but
bad.
Then he turned bad. They caught him at the end or something. It was like near the end.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I
wonder if he's playing the same character.
Probably not.
Probably not. You know, they're going to bring Tony back just to.
He's playing his much more handsome brother that was a good guy in something else. Right.
It'd be funny if they start bringing back characters.
Right, right. Like, Tony's back. Like, what the hell? Great. Didn't he die like 8 times? How is he back?
But I got to at least watch it.
Yeah.
A couple episodes to see. You know, I've heard this new guy's not going to be as Jack Bauer as Jack Bauer was.
Yeah. He might get there eventually. Yeah. I think it'd be nice to see a progression.
Yeah, because when you saw first season of 24, Jack wasn't quite the badass. Wasn't until the family thing happened to him, and then season 2 when he goes after.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil it too much in case people do want to go back and watch it, but when he goes after, what's her name?
Yeah.
That's when he becomes
the badass.
Jack Bauer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's that was basically my wife pegged it when I was watching 24. She's like, you know, this is just a soap opera for men. I'm like, yeah, it pretty much is, but that's fine.
But that's
okay. Soap opera, that people get killed in, so that's fine.
And there's badasses and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, so who cares?
But that's essentially all TV shows are. I mean, for the most part, if you think about it, they're all basically soap operas.
Sports are soap operas.
Yeah, they are, especially wrestling.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
that's a big soap opera.
Yeah, there's drama, there's intrigue, there's you know, cheesiness to it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, those football cutaways with the robots dancing and crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
stuff it's like cheesy. That. Yep. So you ready for football this year?
Oh yeah.
Who are you rooting for?
Duh.
Really?
I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Cowboys fan.
All right.
I'm not a typical Cowboys fan.
You're not typical. You're not a fair weather Cowboys fan.
If they go 1-15, I'll watch all 16 games.
You're not going to go for the Texans? Because
no.
What? What's wrong with the Texans?
Fuck the Texans.
What?
Fuck the Texans.
Wow.
I liked the Oilers.
I'm going to tell all the people in Houston when you go there.
They know. I liked the Oilers. When the Oilers and Cowboys were around, I liked the Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans don't register to me. I don't give a fuck about them. I mean, I really don't care.
Have you looked into them at all?
Yes. I watch football. I pay attention to it. I just don't care about the Texans.
Oh. Did you watch the 30? Not that it wasn't a 30 for 30, but they had like that season, last season on that one show where they talked about him or whatever. HBO thing.
Oh, that, what's it called?
I don't know
what you're talking about.
Yeah. I don't follow sports, but
I
saw
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks.
There you go. Yeah, they do like a season where they pick a team and go through the thing with
their
them and stuff.
Camp with them. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty. I caught a couple episodes of that.
No, it's entertaining.
These guys got heart. You know, it seems like they got their minds in the right place. But we'll see.
Yeah. So, I mean, do I pull for the Texans to lose or anything? No, they just don't register.
Okay.
I'm joking when I say fuck them. They don't really register.
You said fuck them.
I did, but I was joking.
I'm leaving that in there.
No, do it.
No, but for you, it's the Cowboys. Where was I at? It's a diehard Cowboys fan.
I was at a store, and they were talking about something. They're like, so I guess being from Dallas, you hate Houston teams. And I went, to be honest, I don't even think about them. I don't think about Houston teams. They just don't register with me.
Yeah.
So I don't really care. And, of course, as we're sitting here, the Rangers are kicking the Astros' ass on their way to the division title, which, ha-ha. Sorry, Houston. But, no, I pull for the Cowboys, and there are certain other teams that I like. I like San Diego Chargers. I like to see them win sometime, finally. But that's never going to happen. That's about it. I used to like the 49ers when Joe Montana was there because I liked watching Joe play and things like that. But, no, I'm a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
Okay. I'm even a Romo fan, big Romo fan.
Yeah. Is he coming back, or is he too injured, or what?
He'll play and then get hurt again. And he's done, and I don't mean that in a mean way. He's done. He's too old. And
he like broke his back or something.
I mean, 36 isn't that old. He can still probably have 4 or 5 years left if you were healthy. Mm. But he's not healthy, you know. So, and it's sad, you know.
It is. It is definitely sad.
You know, he's a top 10 Cowboy of all time, arguably, without a Super Bowl. Without a Super Bowl. Only a top 10 guy that'll be. Well, Witten doesn't have a Super Bowl either. But it's sad because back in the early days, all the great Cowboys legends had Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
This new wave doesn't.
Well, who do you blame for that? You blame the players? Jerry, you blame the game? You blame Jerry?
Jerry's a lot to do with it. Jerry has mostly to do with it.
Yeah.
Just, bad drafting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry was relying on Tony to win all the games, which is why Tony would lose a bunch of games.
Yeah.
You can't rely on one guy to win the game all the time.
Right, right.
Eventually he's going to fuck up, and that happens because he tried to do too much. The one year he actually had a really good running back was 2 years ago. Took the pressure off of him, and they went 12-4. They won their first playoff game. Should have won the second playoff game, but Dez got hosed on that catch that they said wasn't a catch. And we'd have been playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get hosed on that catch.
I was listening to a... This American Life, or was it? It was one of those NPR podcasts I listened to, and they had a thing in there about bad decisions, and one of them talked about this guy. It's like, he's a tech nerd with he's one of these nerds that knows a lot about stats and stuff, and he did a study and put it out there and said basically if they would change the way that they draft, that they would have you can go from a losing team to a winning team very quickly.
Yeah, you can.
And one of the things he said was, they always have that first pick which you pay the most money to.
Yeah.
And then you have your second string picks and you're paying them a lot less money, but you're getting typically better players in that second string that you're going to be able to do something with.
Right.
And he said what he always told them to do is to take that first pick and trade them for 5-6 other players because that's their worth, and you'll end up with a better team. But nobody's ever done it.
Well, Dallas has done it a few times, but it worked when Jimmy Johnson was here. It worked when he would try to do that.
Yeah.
So Jerry's tried to copy that a bunch of times, and all that means is that just gives Jerry more opportunity to make bad decisions.
Right.
So that's right. I'd rather him just take his 7 picks, pick your 7 players. Don't turn those 7 picks into 12 because now you're going to have 12 fuck ups as opposed to 7.
Yeah. What can you do? Yeah. We have no control over that. We just watch it. That's all we can do.
You know, and it's fun. And
watch it and throw stuff at the
screen. Seinfeld had that line, you cheer for the laundry. That's what I'm cheering for. Cheering for the laundry.
Yeah.
Got the star on the helmet. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'll cheer for him.
Cool. All right. Well, it's been great smoking with you guys today, and we'll be back next week, hopefully, with another episode.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a flick that we saw together.
Yes.
It'll actually be a movie review, as well as other stuff. We saw Hell or High Water.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out before the episode. That way you can hear a review of it and agree or disagree.
Absolutely.
All right. So where can they find us, Randy?
iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, Podomatic. iHeartRadio.
Yeah, you're close. Yeah.
iTunes.
There you go.
Spreaker, Stitcher, or Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been.
YouTube. You say YouTube?
And YouTube.
Yeah, there you go.
And YouTube.
All right.
YouTube
A. YouTube A.
Do I get to tell my YouTube story?
Oh, you got a YouTube story?
From the other day?
What? Go for it.
Because I'm at an event.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I'm at an event, and this guy's kind of like staring at me. Because we used to do video, obviously. And a guy comes up to me and he goes, "You're on YouTube." And to be funny, I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm standing right here." And he's like, "No, man, you're on YouTube." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've done some videos on YouTube." And he says, "Yeah, man, you review cigars with a bald-headed Mexican."
which shop was this? What was the guy's name? Where is he? I'm going to kick his ass.
Yes. No. And I laughed and said, "Yes, I do, but his name's Brandon." And, you know, that's after I spit bourbon through my nose and,
right,
you know,
right
had a coughing fit and rolled on the floor, then I had to correct him. No,
right.
You review cigars with a bald-headed Mexican. Yeah.
Yes, he does. Well, we did.
Yeah,
we used did. To yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. So big thanks to Matt for letting us do the show here at the lovely Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge. If you're in the Richardson area, definitely come check it out. It's right off of 75 in Arapahoe. You can't miss it. Mm-hmm. Big sign outside that says cigar, and it's right next to a barbecue place called
1050 Barbecue.
1050 Barbecue. I never remember the name of that place.
Good barbecue too.
Good barbecue too, yeah. So check that out as well. Yeah. Go grab yourself a nice little barbecue sandwich. Come over to the shop, buy a cigar, have a sit down, and talk with the guys here and watch some sports and have a good old time.
That sounds like fun.
It does. So we'll see you next time.
See you later, Brandon.
Later.